South Sudan's bright stars have just given the country another reason to celebrate, sweeping all three games in the latest FIBA Basketball World Cup qualifiers in Tunisia. Now, they beat Guinea, Nigeria, and then the host, Tunisia, to finish the window with a perfect 3 wins from 3. Now, the victory over Tunisia was particularly impressive, with the Bright Stars holding their nerve in a closely fought game that went down to the final seconds. But beyond the victories, there is another question. What can South Sudan learn from the experience of playing in a country with more development sporting facilities and infrastructure? Centre Couture's Minister of Youth and Culture, Honourable Bush Busse, was in Tunisia himself watching the games. And he says the experience inspired him to think about what can be done at home, including plans for quality basketball courts and other sports infrastructure, with the Central Equatorial Governor pledging land for the development. So what did the minister see in Tunisia? And what can South Sudan learn from the Bright Stars' success? And can this momentum translate into better opportunities for young athletes here in South Sudan? Minister Bush Busse joins me now in the studio. Welcome to the program, and thank you so much for making out time to speak to us today.
Thank you very much, Irene, and the management of Radio Miraya for hosting me today.
Right. So you were in Tunisia, and you watched all the three games. What was it like watching the Bright Stars pulling off a clean sweep?
Wow, it was a very fantastic moment for South Sudanese. All of us felt very proud about the performance of Bright Stars. They have put South Sudan on the world map, and it has portrayed a positive image about the Republic of South Sudan. Mm. Historically, we have been known for wars and political turmoil, but the Bright Stars have portrayed a positive image that South Sudan is not all negative. You know, people cheered South Sudanese, the other Africans who were there. And the fans, you know, did a good job. Mm. Our great stars, they were all there. The likes of Jones, also of Noni Omot, Shayok's, Jock and others. The coach also, you know, we have to be very thankful to Ivy. Mm-hmm. And also the management of the federation led by Luol Deng. The support from the National Olympic Committee, led by Cho Lam, and other officials, especially from the national government. So this time, mm-hmm. we went full force with one shared goal, mm-hmm. to win all the three games. And indeed,
it happened.
It happened.
Right.
We won all the three games.
Yes, we did.
And everybody is very, very happy.
Uh-huh.
The ones who went, those who did not go to Tunisia, mm-hmm. they were also following from South Sudan and other parts of the world. And I believe all of us were in Tunisia, whether physically or in spirit, and we all felt very, very proud.
That's right. Now, staying in that moment where we beat all these three countries, from where you were sitting, what stood out for you about this team?
This team is solid and with more support from the government and partners, we'll be able to see more wins happening in the next window, which is going to be in February, because the job is not yet done. You've seen in some games the margin was very, very close, especially with Nigeria and Tunisia. It was very, very close because everybody is coming with intention of winning.
Yeah.
And they all pull out their stars playing for NBA. They were all in those teams, but South Sudan did very well. And I think the other thing that motivated and increased the morale of the players was the fact that we had good number of fans compared to other countries that travel from West Africa,
right.
and other parts of the world.
Right.
So they also increased the morale. And yeah, were able to win. Even when things were a little bit tough,
mm-hmm.
I have seen a spirit of oneness, unity, patriotism shown by the South Sudanese, especially when Tunisia equalized and slightly, you know, they were almost beating South Sudan. I've seen some fans and even government officials shedding tears. Some of them had a rise on.
So it was an emotional game.
On their level of blood pressure.
Wow.
It was quite emotional.
Mm.
That shows that South Sudanese really love South Sudan.
Mm.
They love themselves.
Right.
And this game has shown us something beyond basketball, you know, that sports can unite South Sudan. And that South Sudanese need to come together, do good things to rebrand South Sudan.
Indeed, and it's never too late. So we often celebrate the Bright Stars when they win, but you came back home from Tunisia talking about something even bigger. You spoke about sports development. What did you see there that made you think we need to do this differently at home?
In Tunisia, where this game was played, it's called South Sports City. So they have a complex with basketball stadium, this football stadium, volleyball, all those facilities are in one place, and that is called a sports city. So what I saw there was spectacular, and I said in Tunisia that South Sudan deserves something like that, or even better than that, because looking at Tunisia, the level of revenue generation that they have and the one that South Sudan has, I believe we have more resources.
Right.
We have more resources because we have oil, and then looking at the natural resources that we have in the Republic of South Sudan, we can be able to construct a sports city so that we support our athletes, you know, in the Republic of South Sudan.
Right.
Some of them don't have opportunities, like those who manage to go to the U.S., in Australia, other countries. Even our Bright Stars, if they are to train, they go to Rwanda. Mm. You know, they go to other countries because we don't have an indoor basketball court. And yeah, so that is the advocacy that everybody is making. We had some engagements with the National Minister of Youth and Sports, Honorable Atong Kwalma Nyang, the Basketball Federation, the National Olympic Committee, and some of the officials who are in Tunisia, to strategize. The Deputy Minister of Finance from the national government was also there, so that we push together.
Right, the state government, you are confirming that the talks have already started to replicate
we have started the talk already, and it is really urgent.
Mm.
Imagine the next games are supposed to be played in South Sudan. We're supposed to host those three countries again because we played them, and then there's another window happening in February. So because we don't have the facilities, we will request one of the neighboring countries or one of the African friends to allow us host those games, maybe Rwanda, Uganda, or Kenya. So those kind of discussions will go. But suppose we have our own indoor basketball court or a stadium, South Sudan will be hosting these games here. And those stars that are playing for other clubs in the U.S., in Australia, and other countries will be able to come so that they inspire, you know, the athletes who are aspiring to become international stars, those who want to play for NBA, you know, they can mingle together, they can be coached, and definitely we'll be able to have more basketballers joining the team, more basketballers also joining NBA, and in return, South Sudan will benefit. Because imagine when you have athletes that you will export to the international world, they also bring money, they bring income to the country.
Right.
They will contribute in nation building. They will build basketball courts in their home areas, like, you know, what others are doing, what the footballers are doing, like Mane, those of Ronaldo, those of Messi. So South Sudan has the potential because of the talents that we have, the height that South Sudanese have. What we need is only to have basketball courts all over the country, in all the countries,
right,
in all the payams. We'll be able to produce a good number of athletes who will replace the current escort that we have.
That's right. Now, should the sporting policy only be built around the success of the Bright Stars, or should we be looking beyond basketball and start developing football, athletics, volleyball, and other sports as well?
I talk about a sports city, meaning it will be a complex that will look at the different sports activities that we have. So it's not only basketball, but we also have the potential in other sports activities like football, volleyball, you know, table tennis, chess, those kind of games, and then, you know, running, you know, athletics, and other games, sports activity like kickboxing. Those are things that can, you know, portray a good image of the country. Those are things that will bring medals. And how it feels when you send your athletes outside and they come with medals, they come with wins, they come with even bronze or silver. You know, how does it feel? It feels very, very good. And I think we really need to put our hands together and put sports as a priority.
Right.
I know development of sports facilities has been delayed in the Republic of South Sudan by the conflict, which culminated into economic crisis, and the country put so much focus on addressing insecurity, building peace. But time has come given the performance by Bright Stars, this should give us more motivation to mobilize resources to construct the sports city or sports complex in South Sudan. And Central Equatorial State, especially you've seen the message of His Excellency Emmanuel Adil Anthony, the governor of Central Equatorial State, are pledging to facilitate acquisition of a land for the sports city.
Mm-hmm.
And then the national government will pick it up from there to get now the resources for this sports city to be constructed.
Do we know the place where this land is going to be availed?
We are going to get multiple options from this site of Luri Road, Terekeka Road, and also this road to Nesi 2. These are all options that we'll have, and then it will be up to the federations and the National Olympic Committee to select what works best for those purposes.
Right. So
because it's not only we are not only requesting for basketball, but also the other federations, the other sports activities, so that we move together.
Right. So who is expected to finance and build these facilities?
You know, already there's a contribution from Central Equatorial State in form of land, and that is a great contribution. Then the national government also has to inject resources from the revenues generated, whether from oil or non-oil revenues. There are also partners coming on board. The federations, the National Olympic Committee, they have got partners. And even the basketballers themselves, we interacted with them while in Tunisia. They also have got networks, they have got friends. I believe all those will be explored to have an indoor court constructed in South Sudan and also other facilities.
Right. And Minister, just to be careful, not to be overly ambitious, because the talk of having facilities was already spoken about some time ago, but we still haven't seen anything come to fruition. But hopefully this is different. So let me just put you on the spot a bit. When should a young basketball player in Juba expect to step onto one of these new quality courts or facilities that you are talking about? Do we have a timeline?
What is very important is that we are going to have a basketball court. And we, at the level of the state, we are already discussing with partners to have simple basketball courts. Those simple ones will not take time, but to have an indoor basketball court, it requires a lot of resources. And this is where the national government is needed. Partners are also needed to inject resources. So within a period of 1 year, we'll be able to see some development in sports activities happening, especially in regards to infrastructure.
Right.
They'll be able to see simple basketball courts. And then very soon you will hear conversations happening, because in the next few days we'll be having meetings and we're going to work as a team. The Ministry of Culture, Youth and Sports in Central Equatoria, and also the Office of the Governor, together with the National Minister of Youth and Sports, the federations, the National Olympic Committee, all of us are going to work as a team. And then, of course, the Commissioner of Juba County, so that we begin to expedite the process of having an indoor basketball court in Juba. So Central Equatoria here is strategic because it is the one hosting the national government, and we have to really support them with land and other resources within our reach so that we actualize this. So for those who are having dreams to become basketball stars or other or athletes in other fields, keep hope alive. The government is doing what it can. Within a period of 1 year, you'll be able to see something happening. Yes.
Right. And Minister, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us. Are you confident that in Qatar 2020, come 2027, we will be raising the South Sudanese flag, rallying behind the Bright Stars?
I am optimistic. The job is not yet done. We have another window. And, of course, everybody is desperate. Those countries that we beat, they are also going to come strongly. And South Sudan has to also re-strategize so that we are able to beat them all. And all the three games, we have to win them so that it will give us more chances to qualify for the World Cup. And I believe South Sudan, in its current position, has the potential to qualify.
Potential indeed. From three wins in Tunisia to the prospect of better courts here at home, the Bright Stars may have given us more than just something to cheer about. Now, they may also have given us a blueprint for what South Sudan's sporting future could actually look like. A big thank you to the Central Equatorial Minister of Youth and Culture, Honorable Bush Buse. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Irene Lasso. Thank you, Miraya, for hosting me this morning.
That's right. And it's just 7 minutes to the top of the hour. A very good morning.